In 1892, Ellis Island became the reception center for new immigrants to our nation. And in 1892, John Muir formed the Sierra Club. In 1892, Homer Plessy refused to sit in a segregated rail car, starting a lawsuit that resulted in the Plessy versus Ferguson case, giving the idea of separate but equal. In 1892, the towns of Albina and East Portland were made part of the city of Portland. In 1892, the 104th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church met here in Portland. And in 1892, on October 26th, 42 people signed on as charter members of Westminster Presbyterian Church. And so here we are, 125 years later, gathering on a Sunday, as this congregation has done for over 6,000 Sundays, gathering to worship God who called us into community, this God who loves us and sends us out to serve. It may be fun to imagine, in an It's a Wonderful Life kind of way, the impact that Westminster has had on the people of Portland and the world, but we can only imagine, because we don't really know. Once in a while, someone will give a testimony about how their life was changed here, and once in a while, we engage in a program or a mission that has impact for decades. A few years ago, a man named Bill started worshiping with us on the advice of the pastor of a different Presbyterian church. He was in his 60s, he had a very successful career, a good marriage, a nice home, a good income. But when he came to us, he was broke. His wife was living in California and all their things were in a storage unit. We would occasionally help him out with the monthly fee for the storage. But here he was, week after week, worshiping with us. He loved the music here. And you welcomed him. He got back on his feet, and on his last Sunday with us, before he went back to California to be with his wife, he asked Greg and me if he could say a word in worship, and we really had no idea what he was going to say, but we said yes. And so he got up, and he said, I don't know if you remember this Sunday, he said something along the lines of, "You don't know me, and you don't know this, but you saved my life." What you didn't know was that in his 60s, Bill became addicted to heroin. And through the efforts of many, and through the grace of God, and through your gracious welcome of him, he got better. Over 30 years ago, Westminster partnered with other organizations in the city to organize Project Linkage. Three decades later, because of that work, not only are we able to bring some of our older members to worship here on a Sunday morning, but now over 1,000 older adults and people with disabilities throughout the city are able to have transportation. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. In looking back at Westminster's history, I was encouraged by this story, which I'm reading from a pamphlet that was put together for Westminster's 75th. Anniversary. In the early 1920s, the Ku Klux Klan was a power in Oregon. Every manner of racial and religious prejudice was wrapped protectively in the flag. In 1922, a statewide initiative placed upon the ballot a measure that would require that every child attend public schools. It was aimed at the Catholic parochial schools and at schools maintained by the Lutherans and Seventh-day Adventists, all of which were portrayed as being un-American. The pastor at the time was Dr. Pence, and his sense of justice and decency were outraged. More politic clergymen, if they were unwilling to dirty themselves by supporting the bill, simply avoided the issue. Edward Pence stood four square against it, and a majority of the congregation supported him, courageously. For in that day when silent Klansmen in tailored bedsheets were wont to file ominously into the churches of the city, hear the sermon, reward those pastors who pleased them with a bag of silver, and admonish those who didn't with threats. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The church is a place where we live out the Beatitudes. Every Sunday, we pastors sit up here and we watch you all come in, and I love that. I love it when the younger kids sit on the front row in their scratchy, fancy dresses or their beloved stuffed animals. I love watching some of our older saints come in with their walkers and their friends who help them with that. Last week, a couple came into the sanctuary dancing. I love watching you greet your old friends and the first-time worshiper. We watch those who are mourning come in, and those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness and justice. We watch the merciful come in, and the pure in heart, and the peacemakers. We see the persecuted coming in, and those who have lies told about them. The Beatitudes come to life here in these timeless words of Jesus. God is here. God has been so good to us. But it's not just here that the Beatitudes come to life. Jesus calls us in and sends us out. And for a century and a quarter, this community has gone out to hospitals and capitals, to marches and schools, to meetings and hiking trails. Westminster is showing up where it matters because God has given us the grace to do just that. Of course, we haven't always gotten it right. There have been periods in our history where we've not treated each other very well. It's a time-consuming and intriguing thing to go back and read session minutes and hear about how so-and-so was admonished by the session for some kind of unacceptable behavior. There have been tensions between the congregation and staff and between the congregation and the pastors, and those times are hard. Sometimes people don't come back after a church fight, but sometimes they do. A testament to the power of grace and forgiveness. We don't always get it right. The first people of color who came here did not always feel welcomed. Our first interracial couple was not met with unanimously open arms. But God is never done with us. And so, with love and humility, through lots of conversations and meetings, and with no small amount of prayer, we get better. And it was interesting to me as I looked back at what was happening in the nation and the city in 1892 and what Westminster has dealt with over the last 125 years, I came to the realization that the more things change, the more they stay the same. In the 1965 annual report, Pastor Robert Bonthius wrote this: "This church is in transition. It is not like most of the other Presbyterian churches, and really we should never try to compare ourselves with them. We are in the midst of a residentially changing neighborhood, a commercially changing one, an economically changing one, a racially changing one. Not only this, we are also a church which has been uniquely concerned about liturgical reform, about interfaith dialogue, about the ecumenical movement, about the immediate neighborhood, about race relations, about the civil rights movement, about the changing city, about new forms of Christian education. All these things," Dr. Bonthius said years ago, "are part of Westminster." Certainly, we are living in a time when we are figuring out in theological terms what it means to welcome the stranger whose religion or nationality is foreign to us. And certainly, we still live with issues around racism, and certainly we live in a changing Portland and a changing neighborhood. And that points us to the direction in which we will head for the future. The huge issues that face our nation, issues around justice for those who live on the margins, issues of poverty, issues of our home here on earth and how we take care of it, issues about how we live together. I think those are not issues that will be solved unless the church gets involved. Because we are people of faith. We are people who believe that humanity is not the be-all, end-all, but that God is the be-all, end-all. We have faith that we are loved, no matter how much others revile us or challenge us. We have faith that there is enough good out there to combat the bad. We have faith that we are not alone. We have faith that our job is not to sit at home and while away the hours, but to do so many small acts in such great love that we will change the world. I love Westminster. I don't always love the building. But I love Westminster, and by that I mean not only Westminster's people, but Westminster's past and Westminster's present. I love that we're actively engaged in the community. I love that we are welcoming. I love that people come here and find healing and wholeness and community. I love who we have been and who we are, and I love the hope of who we will be. God is here. God has been so good to us. So may we say, as they did at the annual meeting of the congregation in 1917, the closing address by our moderator, Dr. Pence, was inspiring to us all, and the entire occasion made us all feel justly proud to be part of Westminster Church. To the glory of God.